At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Dispensing cannabis business knowledge beyond a million square feet of cultivation space, CannabisRadio.com proudly presents Blunt Business, harvested by Strainwise Consulting. Together, we will navigate the challenges and opportunities of one of the most profitable industries on earth. Join us each episode to hear our weekly roundtables and interviews with industry professionals. Now, let's delve into some Blunt Business with your host, Sean Eubanks.
Hello, you're listening to Blunt Business on Cannabis Radio. I'm your host, Sean Eubanks, Vice President of Strainwise Consulting. And we are here with Kristen Murr of Alpenstash. Alpenstash is a Colorado-based company that was founded in 2015. It's a family-run craft cannabis cultivation company with a passion for growing plants and an affinity for natural healing. Born and raised in Boulder, owner and master gardener Danny Sloat runs the business along with his fiance Murr, family friend Sylvia, and Lindsay as well. The team cultivates 3,000 square feet of indoor cannabis, each plant grown using non-toxic chemicals, all natural nutrients, and organic compost. Down to the finest details, every bud headed for the market is pristine. With a focus on small-scale artisanal production, the Alpenstash team is able to dote on every plant from sprout to trichome glistening bud, bringing utmost quality to every harvest, and it shows. The flowers here look like gems, and seeing everything hand-trimmed and glass-cured to perfection is a real treat. Kristen Murr, who is affectionately known as Murr, was born and raised in Colorado, where she grew up playing hockey. After sustaining a back injury, she began the typical regimen of over-the-counter medicine and pharmaceutical pain remedies. It wasn't until Murr tried cannabis that she noticed some immediate relief. Within 2 years of commercial cannabis bakery experience and a desire to continue paving her way in the emerging cannabis industry, Murr began working with Alpenstash, handling logistics and cultivating cannabis. She's excited to be helping her fiancé, Danny Sloat, owner of Alpenstash, and his vision come to fruition. Welcome to the show, Murr.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So your background, born and raised in Colorado, and you sustained a back injury from playing hockey. Tell me about that.
I did. So I grew up playing both boys and girls hockey. I, against my mother and my father's advice, decided to join a men's high school hockey team. And this was an issue because, you know, regardless of strength, biologically men are bigger generally and stronger. And so I was playing my junior year in a high school game, and I was hit from behind, and it was a pretty serious injury. I was, you know, I was knocked out. I had trouble walking for a while, and it just kind of threw my world for a whirlwind.
So you ventured over to the male side. Was it co-ed, or were you the only female playing on the team?
Well, growing up, we didn't have an all-women's team until I was about 12 or 13. So I grew up playing boys hockey for the first 8 or 9 years. And then Colorado developed a women's team. So I played men's as long as I could, which is about till peewee, which is when you're 12 or 13, and that's when you start to check. And then I moved over full time to women's hockey. However, my junior year, they just reinstated high school hockey in Denver. So I wanted to jump on the opportunity to play for my high school, and I was the only female on the team, and I was the only female in the high school hockey league at that time in Denver.
Murr, I didn't play hockey. I'll be the first to admit that. I'm in awe. I've been to a couple of pro games, and I'm in awe of the athleticism, right? I think you have to sit down on the glass to really appreciate the level of athleticism and how talented these players are at the pro level.
Absolutely.
One of the things that's part of these games are fights. Have you ever been in a fight on a hockey ring?
I'm only 5'3". I'm pretty small. So my bread and butter was finesse and goal scoring. you know, there's always tiffs. There's always, you know, you get kind of rough against the boards. You exchange a few words, you know, it gets a little heated, but no, I never dropped the gloves. That wasn't really my thing. I preferred to show them what's what by scoring goals.
Gotcha. Okay, now on to the more serious thing, and I love that you're sharing with us why you got in this industry, because I think that's important. And we'll get to Alpenstash and what a great company is, and it's a tremendous company, and we'll get into that and the quality of the product. But I love the why you're getting in the industry. So you have this accident, and then you're in the hospital, right, and you're given a certain amount of opioids or pain relievers. How did that work for you? And then when did you realize, okay, I'm open to trying cannabis?
Well, you know, growing up being an elite athlete, it was, I kind of just wrote cannabis off as, you know, being something that, you know, the stoner kids, I guess, for lack of a better word, in high school did. And so I got hurt and I didn't rehab properly, because your junior year of high school is a really important year to get scouted by colleges. So I kind of just put the pharmaceutical Band-Aid over it, worked hard to rehab for only a month when I probably should have rehabbed for 7 to 8 months, got back onto the ice, and then I ended up going and playing college in Minnesota. And I was only allowed to play a year there because I couldn't hang with my back. So after realizing that I wouldn't get accepted back into playing college hockey, it was kind of an all-time low of mine. And I had a friend of mine, and she said, well, you know, have you ever tried cannabis? And at first I was a little thrown off, and, you know, there's negative stipulations with it, and I wasn't informed and I wasn't educated. So I took some time and I read up on some research, and, you know, my friend who suggested it to me, you know, she was a great person and she had her life together. And I thought, well, I mean, it can't be that bad. So one night I tried it, and it was, I mean, I hadn't felt that relaxed and that free from my pain since the accident had happened, you know, 4 years prior. So it just opened up a whole new world to me.
Okay. And then you were smoking at that time, correct?
Yes. Then I started smoking daily.
Okay. And then when you noticed relief, you start smoking, and then was it a couple of days where you realized, okay, no more pain pills, or I'm going to phase myself off of this? Talk about the regimen and how you got rid of all the painkillers that you were on.
Okay. Well, I was on prescribed as needed, which for pain, you know, for painkillers. And I think it was Vicodin at first, and then that wasn't cutting it, so they moved me to Percocet. So I was on Percocet and the muscle relaxer Flexeril, and I was supposed to take that every 4 to 6 hours depending on my pain. And after I smoked, I was flabbergasted. However, there was still that addiction. You still have that physical addiction to those medications. So what I started to do is slowly, I thought, well, I'll take my Percocet and I'll smoke a bowl and I won't take my Flexeril. So I started to do that for a couple days, and I noticed that I was feeling better without the Flexeril and just smoking. So then I thought, well, what if I just smoke? You know, the worst thing that could happen is I feel sick and I can start it again immediately if I need to. And so the next day I tried it, and, you know, the cannabis was kind of a double whammy as far as medicinally. It made my back feel stronger. It made me feel more relaxed, and it helped with the nausea from the painkiller withdrawal. So after that, I was pretty hooked. I flushed everything and had a better outlook on life.
Well, I applaud your willingness to try something new. I mean, back then you're in school, you're in college. How did you navigate the fact that you, and also not a lot of choices for marijuana, right? You just had to take what you could get. You could do your own research, learn about strains, but you weren't specifically targeting, and you were, it was very rudimentary and as far as the industry goes. How did you, so you'd have to smoke to overcome the pain, then you would need to go to school, correct?
Correct. Well, at that time, I didn't go back to Minnesota, like I said, because I couldn't go play hockey. So I was taking a little bit of time off from school, trying to figure out what I needed to do with my life at that moment. Because I, you know, as I had mentioned before, that was something that I lost that I'd been training for since I was 6 years old. So it was, you know, it took some time for me to kind of get my life back on track.
Okay. And then, so you start doing that and you start, you're smoking daily. Did you shift away to edibles or any other medication? Were you trying anything else or was it only smoking?
No, at that time it was only smoking. I mean, like you said before, I was just getting it where I could get it. You know, if I wasn't, it wasn't, there was no concern or even knowledge that there were different variations that could help. I didn't even know what a cannabinoid was at that point. So it was just, yeah, as I could, I was just smoking what I could get my hands on.
Okay. And what are you still in pain today from the back injury?
Oh yes.
Okay. And then are you using, are you supplementing the cannabis with any kind of like chiropractic or acupuncture or any holistic healing practices?
I do physical therapy. And then it's funny you mentioned massage therapy because shortly after that, I went to school for massage therapy so that I could help other hurt athletes. And so I get massage therapy when I can get away from the grow. Time is a little sparse. Sure. When you're in a small family business and there's only four of you. So, you know, I get it in where I can, but we have a strain here called Wife that's, you know, pretty high. It's on the CBD scale. And I smoke that daily and it, you know, it pretty much relieves my pain.
Okay. And it's Wife, WIFE?
Yes.
Great. And that's a strain you guys have invented, correct?
With the Danny. Yes. Danny bred that.
Awesome. Wonderful. And we'll get into that a little bit because you guys do so many specific strains and it's just tremendous. Okay. So Wife is obviously great for back pain. That's helping you out. That's a wonderful testimonial. Is there another way to consume Wife? Could you get it in edibles or are you in process of talking to partners and working that out for somebody who would rather eat it than smoke it?
I mean, we encourage everyone to, you know, you can make home tinctures, you can make, after purchasing it, you can make your own edibles, you know, you just need to, I would encourage them to, like anything, just do some research and, you know, you do what's best for you. You know, what, if you're not a smoker, you can make yourself some brownies. You know, if you'd prefer tincture, then, you know, you can make some sunflower oil or coconut oil infused and eat it or cook with it or whatever you'd like to do with it.
We're going to take a short break, and when we return, we'll be talking to Kristen Murr of Alpen Stash. Don't go away.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business. Are you disturbed by the prescription medication commercials on television and their endless list of side effects? They go on, and you end up having to take multiple pills to counteract the problems caused by the first pill. It never ends. Have you looked into CBD as a more natural option? At Saturn Ranch, we produce all-natural CBD topicals and THC-infused edibles. Premium lab-tested hemp-derived CBD is the most important ingredient in our products. From topical balms, salt scrubs, bath-soaking salts to tinctures and edibles, you're sure to find something to help. Family-owned and operated, we at Saturn Ranch believe in and use our products daily. Don't put anything on your body that you wouldn't put in your body. SaturnRanch.com.
Strainwise Consulting is the most sought-after consulting company for cannabis business applications and management contracts. We consulted on the first recreational license in the world and have had an over 95% success rate on applications submitted. The industry is growing at such an exponential rate that building a powerful and lasting cannabis business is a number one priority. Here's Strainwise's Sean Eubanks.
In our first 5 years, we branded and supported 9 medical and recreational marijuana dispensaries and approximately 160,000 square feet of sophisticated and efficient product cultivation.
Strainwise Consulting has the experience and expertise to guide you through the process.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Fuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Fuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be. The Fuber way.
I hope you didn't forget about us, because we're back with Blunt Business on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Blunt Business on Cannabis Radio. I'm your host, Sean Eubanks, Vice President of Strainwise Consulting. And we've been talking to Kristen Murr of Alpen Stash in Boulder, Colorado. Welcome back to the show, Murr.
Hi, thank you.
All right. So you're on the first segment, you talked about why you got in the industry and the pain that you were in and this wonderful strain called Wyeth that you use every day to medicate and offset chronic back pain that you have. Okay, so you, you're a consumer on some level and you're using it for medicinal purposes. And then let's talk about the leap into the industry. You started out working for a commercial cannabis bakery, right?
Correct, yes.
Cool. And then what were you doing for those guys?
I started out as just a packager, and then in a short few months, I was able to work my way up to packaging manager. So I was doing a lot of compliance, as far as labels and keeping up with what the MED requires and just helping fill orders and getting them out the door.
Great. And so that was a Colorado company as well?
Yes.
Okay. And then how did you make the transition into Alpenstash, because you're a cultivator now, you have a prominent role, appears to be an executive level. I mean, you seem to make that leap seamlessly. How did you get into Alpenstash and make that transition?
Well, as you said before, the owner is my fiance, Daniel Sloat. And when we were dating when I started at the cannabis bakery, and it was in our 5-year plan that I would start there and I would kind of learn everything that I could learn and get as much information and training under my belt as possible. And then once the company was able to expand, I would jump in with Alpenstash, as it would, you know, it's a family business and we're going to be married soon. And we just thought it was important to, you know, for lack of better terms, get some free training and education and learn a different side of it that Danny and I, neither of us was aware of. So when he was able to bring me on, I left the bakery and joined the team.
Excellent. So you are a female and family run business.
Yes.
Let's talk about what it's like to be a female in the industry and how that works for you.
Okay. I'm really lucky with how I was trained and being a female in the industry. I was trained by a woman grower, Sylvia. She's the grower underneath Danny, and she's amazing, and she has a ton of experience. And so she and Danny trained me. So inside, within the company, I've had great experiences. Like anything with a new business, a new industry, most of the time, women are sexualized in the public eye, as far as being used as, you know, objects and selling cannabis, or you go to the booths and the women are kind of scantily dressed. And I feel like a lot of the focus on women in this industry is that, unfortunately. The discrimination I've faced is just, I guess, men in the industry just assuming that I'm just a bud tender, or I just am Danny's fiance and I just do paperwork and accounting and things like that. Nobody, you know, if we're at a booth together, everybody asks Danny all the grow questions. Nobody really just assumes I know. They just assume I don't know anything. So that can be frustrating. However, on the flip side, there's also a lot of support from, you know, from within our business and from other female growers that I've met on forums. And, you know, we're just trying to encourage other women to get out there and, you know, take care of the plants. And we are caring beings, and plants depend on energy and care. And I feel like as women, you know, we really bring something to the table to take care and nurture these plants and create the best product we can.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I hear you there. I mean, I don't know about, you know, I know sex sells for sure. And then when you're traveling around these trade shows, it's, you know, it's interesting. A lot of the ancillary businesses I see, nutrients and other companies trying to, I guess, catch your eye, right, in mm-hmm. a competitive market and for that segment anyway. And but I don't see a lot of scantily clad and that sort of old school, oppressive, if you will, you know, sort of like a trough girl kind of, you mm-hmm. know, bartending sort of low grade position. I do see a tremendous amount of females in leadership positions. Obviously, our Strainwise is owned and founded by Erin Phillips, who is a woman.
Right.
And then when I sit on these boards, I sit on moderate panels and things like that, and I speak. It's always at least balanced with that. I was amazed, Mer, that I started looking into this, and Marijuana Business Daily just put out something, and they said women now make up a sizable and growing portion of executive ranks in the marijuana industry, including 63% of high-level positions at testing labs and nearly 50% of such roles at infused products and processing companies. We also, at one of our larger grows here in Denver, is run by a woman who I don't think any, you know, I'm in that grow quite a bit, and she leads a lot of the tours for our clients, consulting clients and otherwise. And I don't observe any kind of issues up hand, and I think people just look at her as a respected grower.
Right.
And I think few people, given her what she's proven in the industry, would say anything less. I'm not saying that there's not a nutcase out there that would have an opinion, an extreme opinion, but I am very proud of the industry for its actual balance and openness towards women. Would you agree with that, or would you like to see more progress? Or
I mean, like any movement, I'd love to, you know, I'd love to see progress. And I think it's great. I think it's great that all these women are getting involved and we're banding together. And it's just really exciting now that there's an industry, a new industry where we can, you know, our voices can be heard, and it's not being dominated by males, you know. And what I was referring to earlier is just there are a lot of egos involved in this industry, and that's any industry, not just to say the cannabis industry, you know. And I think that as long as we keep making ourselves known and we work together and we support one another, and, you know, there's nothing we can't do. I think that it's only up for us as far as this movement goes. And it's really exciting and it's fun to watch, and it's fantastic to meet other women growers and women in the business. And it's just exciting. It's exciting to hear you talk about it as well, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm citing this herb.com. They also referenced the Marijuana Business Daily reports, and it said, you know, while the media has shaped our understanding of stoners through personalities such as Cheech and Chong, as well as films like Pineapple Express and uh-huh. musicians like Snoop Dogg,
right.
It has become increasingly apparent that women are taking over the industry. So there's a lot of good data out there that says, you know, we are leading the world as far as industries go. I'll give you an idea. Women are represented around 22% in other industries. They're nearly twice that in marijuana. So
right.
something's happening, Mer, and people are listening, and people like yourself are being given opportunities that hopefully will balance things out in a way that is equitable to everybody, including, dare I say, men who want to get in the business as well.
Oh, absolutely. I say, you know, male or female, let's support each other. Let's build each other up, and let's do what we can for each other. And let's make this a profitable, educational, and medicinally healing industry. You know, let's male or female, you know, it's just exciting. I know I sound like a broken record, but it's exciting and it's empowering to be a part of it and to be a part of something that, you know, my parents and my parents' parents for sure never thought would even be an option.
Hey, speaking of your parents, Mer, did you get any pushback when you first got in the industry?
Oh no, goodness, no. I come from an extremely supportive family. My dad taught me how to roll my first joint. My mom has known that I've been a smoker medicinally for my back since I started, and they're very supportive, and they know that I've always, you know, had an affinity for anything plant or natural or coming from nature, and they give me unconditional love. I'm very blessed.
That's great. And I noticed that Danny has in a High Times article that I pulled up about you guys. There's such tremendous positive press about you guys and what you do and how you do it and the care that you put into the process. But Danny also revealed, you know, and he has a tremendous, incredible story. I encourage our listeners to go online and learn about Danny Sloat's struggle with medical problems, stomach and otherwise, and even cancer. So But it's tremendous. He mentioned in this article, you know, my father encouraged me to turn to medicinal cannabis when I was at an all-time low. And I think that's wonderful, because what I hear most often, Murr, is people having to overcome the stigma. And this is mostly on the professional side, where people are like, hey, when I got into this industry, when I left my existing industry, whatever that was, all of my previous clients turned their back on me. I hear that more than anything else. Just everybody, all genders, all walks of life are getting discriminated against because they're simply choosing to get into an industry that some people would say early, but it's all relative, right? If you've been doing this for 10 years, we've been in business since 2009. So for us, it doesn't feel like we just got started. But yeah, I mean, I hear that more often than not. Obviously, we are in cannabis-friendly Colorado, so I don't hear it at networking events and things like that. But man, that is a real issue with just stigmas in general.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's kind of an extreme reaction either way. I think people are either really interested in it. I travel a lot. A lot of my friends live out of state. So, you know, I go to a lot of family gatherings. My friend just had a wedding a couple weeks ago in Minnesota. And, you know, it's an extreme reaction. People either are turned off by it right away and just chalk me up to a stereotype of, you know, like you were saying, the Cheech and Chong stoner, and, you know, not accepting that it's a legitimate job and a legitimate business. And then on the other hand, you get people who are excited and they just want to ask you questions for hours, you know. So hopefully we can just keep educating and informing people, and the more people learn and the more people know, I feel like the more accepting they'll be.
We're going to take a short break, and when we return, we'll be speaking with Kristen Murr of Alpenstash. We're going to talk about the connoisseur level, small batch, non-toxic, hand trim, glass cured to perfection buds, and how Alpenstash is leading the state of Colorado in that. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business.
Oh, let the marijuana llama tell you something now. About a game for your phone, gonna make you say, wow! The game's about the game of growing cannabis for cash. Grow the seeds, sell the bud, put the savings in the stash. Little by little, your empire grows large. Put different celebrities inside your entourage. You can choose to play with Snoop or me or Cheech and Chong. Cypress Hill, Willie Nelson, Wiz Khalifa with a bong. The name of the game is Himping, that's the point. Download and play while you light yourself a joint. The business of cannabis should be no crime. Hemp Inc. is even hot proved by the man who run High Times. Oh yeah, get it on Android and iOS today. Marijuana Llama out. Got to tend to me on crops, you know. Money don't make itself. Hemp Inc.
Running a successful cannabis business isn't easy. Successful businesses need to have strong people to achieve long-term results. At Live Advisors, we believe people are the heart of business, and training people can help you infinitely grow your business. Learn more about our offerings at liveadvisors.com.
Hi, I'm Montel Williams. Most of you know me as a talk show host, but I'm also an author, actor, single father of four, avid snowboarder, and I'm also a medical marijuana patient. Living with multiple sclerosis, I'm in pain every day. Medical marijuana is my last resort, and it helps me when all other drugs have failed. If you'd like more information about medical marijuana, you can contact the Marijuana Policy Project at mpp.org or call 1-877-JOIN-MPP.
I hope you didn't forget about us, because we're back with Blunt Business on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Blunt Business on Cannabis Radio. I'm your host, Sean Eubanks, Vice President of Strainwise Consulting. And we've been talking to Kristen Murr of Alpenstash. Welcome back, Murr.
Hi, thank you.
All right, so you guys have a 3,000-square-foot cultivation center in Boulder, Colorado, correct?
Lafayette, Colorado, but yes.
Lafayette, okay, yep. Mm-hmm. And for those that are geographically challenged, pretty close to Boulder, and much more affordable, I might add, right?
Yes.
But it's a smaller grow, and you're a boutique grow, and you get to hand select your colas. You get to hand select each plant. I mean, that you have a tremendous opportunity of quality control, and we'll kind of dive into that. So you list yourself on alpenstash.com, which is a great website to reach out to you and contact you. But you talk to me about the connoisseur, what that means to you.
Well, like you said, our motto is quality first. And since we are so small, we are able to, you know, breed and we're genetics. And, you know, if we have a harvest and we see a couple plants and we like the way they look, we like the way they smoke, and we get, you know, good test results on them, we have the ability to say, hey, why don't we make a crossbreed of those two? And as far as being small, it's great because you can give each individual plant the attention that it needs. You know, we don't have to speed through our day to make sure we get through and connect to each plant. We can take our time. And my favorite things to do is I like to sing to the plants based on their age and just give them the energy and the attention. You know, they're plants. Vegetation thrives off of that.
Okay, what song do you sing to the younger plants versus the older plants?
Oh, goodness. Well, the toddler plants, I was a preschool teacher. So the toddler plants, I usually sing, it's called a bumblebee song. And then for the older ladies, I generally default to some Queen Beyonce for empowerment.
Okay, so very appropriate. All female staff, of course.
Yes.
No room for males in those rooms. So, but when you... It does matter the energy level that you bring and your attitude and all those things. Are there any preparations that you do? Because if you're around these plants, they're going to sense, quite frankly, stress and things like that, and that'll translate to them. That's a very real thing. I know it's hard to identify and pretty ambiguous to talk about it. But do you guys do any preparation before you go in the grow room, or do you ask your cultivators to be of a certain mind, or maybe not come to work that day? Or how do you manage that energy level in the grow?
Well, our motto here as far as with our staff is, you know, health first. So if anybody is having a hard time with anything, you know, we always pick up the slack for each other. So if someone isn't feeling it one day or they're having a bad day, we say, you know, stay home, take care of yourself. And I think that's really important because you want to create a workspace where people want to come and you want to have positive energy. And you don't want to have to work for it. A good thing about being small, and we're also, you know, you know how to pick each other up, and you know how to improve one another's energy. And as far as, you know, regimens, I mean, I love what I do, so I don't really need one when I come in. It's as soon as I see the girls, you know, I'm excited and I feel good and I want to give them all the love and care that I can give them. So it's just kind of natural.
One of the things I love about Alpenstash is you can find all of your YouTube videos. You guys are an absolute open book. That is, you know, most of the time in the industry, people are trying to hold a trade secret, or, you know, it seems like the less they actually might know, the more they're trying to keep to themselves. It's a fear of it, but you guys are an open book. And so this is why I want to ask you about what's next, which is organic. Can you talk about that? I obviously don't need trade secrets and things like that, but talk about how you're able to accomplish that and what organic means to you.
Well, you know, it's really simple. Like you said, we are an open book. So I feel free sharing everything. And we talk about everything, like you said, on our YouTube channel. Of Danny's great at telling people exactly what he's doing and why he's doing it. And the goal with that is to just, we want people to have healthy, happy plants, you know, for healthy, happy people. And so we don't want to keep that to ourselves. And I guess to address how we, as far as what organic means, we use nutrients called Nectar for the Gods. And it is our friend Scott Ostrander is the owner of that out in Oregon. And he uses all collective rainwater, and it's sustainably sourced and handcrafted. So, you know, that's what we base our, pride ourselves with our own cannabis. So you want to start with good nutrients and with, you know, you want to put those things into your plants. So there's no, I mean, it's things like shrimp shell, kelp meal, crab meal, things like that. Nothing, no type of chemicals go on our plants. You know, if we need to spray for something, we spray with essential oils. We put absolutely no chemicals on any of our plants, and we keep it out of the grow because plants don't need chemicals. You know, they need nature because they are nature. So you want to use things that are sustainably sourced.
That's incredible. So looking at the videos on your YouTube channel, your buds are gorgeous.
Thank you.
They're unbelievable. And if someone, no one I think would pick that out and go, oh yeah, that's organic. That's all natural. They're not using chemicals or pesticides. How do you handle pests and things like that? And how are you able to cultivate like that and produce such consistently beautiful buds naturally like that? Do you think it's just because of the size? I mean, or do you envision that people can do what you're doing on a commercialized scale? I'm sorry, obviously you're commercial, but larger scale. I mean, how do you control everything and prevent the need for pesticides and things like that?
Well, cleanliness is a big thing, and we pride ourselves on that here as well. When we come to work, we all change into fresh clothes straight out of the dryer. Nobody wears the clothes inside the grow that have been outside at all. Little things like that, because you don't know what you can get on your clothes just on your drive to work, whether it's pollen with your window open or dirt or mold. And so, we start there. So we come in and we change our clothes. We have shoes specifically for the grow that we use that we alcohol down. Anytime we're trimming or doing anything or bottoming, when I switch between plants, I always alcohol our scissors and sanitize everything, sanitize our gloves. It's just you have to be really aware of what you're doing and really conscious of cleanliness and sterilization. And I think if people, it's more effort. But if people put the effort into it and they go the extra mile, I mean, anybody could be doing this. It's just like farming, just like vegetables.
One of your mantras at Alpenstash is know your grower. How do you actually get to meet people? I know your products are in a couple of different dispensaries. You're focused on cultivating. How do you make that a reality of knowing your grower?
Well, like we say, we're an open book, and our information is on our website. We encourage people, go check us out on Alpenstash on Instagram. Ask us questions. We want to inform you. If it's something personal, if it's something business wise, we're open books. We want you to know who's growing your medicine. I think that's important. You're putting this into your body and you're relying on it. And it's important to know who's taking care of those plants and what they're doing and that they have the right intentions.
I do need to give you kudos, Murr. On your YouTube channel, there's nothing but 100% positive comments. People absolutely love you. They respond to you guys. I mean, it's social media. There's bound to be something negative somewhere, and there should be at least 30% negative because you can't make everyone happy. But you guys are absolutely crushing it, and I want to congratulate you for that.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Again, I want to give Danny, the credit for that. He's just a down-to-earth, amazing man, and he's who has taught us and who, we all feed off of his energy, and I mean, he's, like I said, he's my fiancé, and I think I've heard him raise his voice one time in the 3 years that we've been together, so he's just a great, patient, lovable guy, and, that comes out in the work we do, and it comes out in our plants.
Some of your unique cultivars and your breeding clones are Sagan Snacks, Jack Snacks, Moxie Dog, Lemmy Winks, White Wino, excuse me, of the THC side, and then Sister Wife, Dr. Dorian, Cura on the CBD side of things. What's your best-selling strain and what's in most high demand per your feedback from the dispensaries you're selling in?
As far as our in-house breeds right now, you brought up Sagan Snacks. We actually just changed the name to Platinum Tiger Cookies. And So far that seems to be the highest in demand. People really like it. It's a, it's a hybrid, and it's a really nice kind of spacey high, and people seem to really be digging it, and we're really happy. We couldn't be happier with it. It's my favorite strain we grow, that's for sure.
Okay, and is it easy to grow? Are you getting a bigger yield with it, or is it just a response, maybe a higher THC content? What draws people to it, do you think?
Well, a lot of things, color. It's got the purplish color. It's covered in beautiful crystals. We get a great yield with it. It usually tests between, 21 to 25% THC, which people love. And it's not, it gives you that nice spacey high, but it's not overwhelming. It doesn't knock you out for the day. You can still be, I like to call it productive stoner.
Gotcha. Okay. So for people who are visiting Colorado and they want your product, Alpenstash, they want to sample this, what dispensary should they go to and where can they find those?
Well, if you know, depending on when they come to see, when they come to Colorado and what they're looking for, they and what part of Colorado, we have again on our website, we have all the information, alpenstash.com. You can go there and it'll tell you the, you know, you can type in dispensaries that we where we're selling our product, and you can pick out the one closest to you. Right now, we have it at Green Dream in Gun Barrel. And then we have some in Santiago, which is in Denver. And we also have Affinity Dispensary. We have it there as well off of Colfax in Denver. But again, we encourage you, feel free to email us, feel free to ask us where and what we have our product. And, you know, we'll answer it. If you're coming in from out of town and you don't know anything or where to go, email us, contact us on Instagram, Facebook us, and we'll get to you as soon as we can.
Wonderful, Mer. Well, I want to congratulate you personally on your journey into healing and getting into this industry and your decision. I applaud you for getting in and your altruistic attitude of helping people and spreading the word. And then your work, you guys at Alpenstash, your work in developing strains that are unique. The way you cultivate cannabis is leading the country in certainly some categories. So I want to applaud you for that, and I want to thank you so much for being a guest on the show today.
Oh, thank you, Sean. And I really appreciate you, you know, having me on. And thank you so much for all the good, positive feedback. And we really appreciate it. We appreciate the support. It means a lot to us.
And thank you to our listeners for joining us for this edition of Blunt Business. You can download episodes of our program by going to CannabisRadio.com. BluntBusinessRadio.com or subscribing to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and now iHeartRadio. Thanks again for having us, and we will see you all next week.
The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without proper consent of CannabisRadio.com is prohibited.